Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of Job has always intrigued me. And how this story ever ended up in the scriptures, and who wrote it down, and when did this man, Job, live, it's all a mystery. We don't really know. He was not an Israelite, and yet somehow he knew and believed in God. But of course, his knowledge of God must have been quite limited, as there were no scriptures written yet. At least, there weren't any in circulation. So there was no real way for him to learn about the nature and the character of God. Which to me makes this all the more amazing, his initial reactions to the tragedies that had befallen him and how they could have ever been so faith-filled. You might remember that upon hearing of the loss of his 500 donkeys, his 500 yoke of oxen, his 3,000 camels, and then also the death of his 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, and all of his servants, Job said this: "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And thus the faith and the life and the story of Job is truly quite extraordinary. And while we always point to Job as a great example of great faith in the midst of overwhelming trials, the truth is that even Job cracked. Even Job questioned God, or at the very least questioned the goodness and the fairness of God. For how can an almighty God be considered equitable and just if he permits human suffering and loss to come upon those who are faithful and upright in heart? Seems like a valid question. I'm fairly certain it's probably a question that most of us have probably asked at one time or another, either with our minds or even maybe with our lips. And given what Job had endured, losing virtually everything he had in his life, who could blame him? Well, God could blame him. God did blame him for his questioning. And this is the part of the story that really intrigues me and confounds me. Stay with me here for a moment. Adam ruined all of God's creation, and he was simply kicked out of Eden and told that he was going to have to sweat a little bit what he worked. Moses complained to God, and he disobeyed God. And God merely decided that he wasn't going to be able to enter the promised land. David took advantage of his role as king, a role that God had gifted to him. And with that role, he committed adultery and murder. And the only thing that was taken away from him was the son that was born out of that adultery. But Job, who lost virtually everything he had in his life, had merely questioned God about his goodness and his fairness. He didn't bring sin into the world. He didn't lead anyone away from God. He didn't hurt anyone or violate any moral law. And yet God goes after him and chastises him for his arrogance and for his ignorance for some four chapters of Holy Writ. It all seems a bit unfair, doesn't it? And yet I'm almost afraid to say that, because when Job questioned the fairness of God, he was read the Holy and Eternal Riot Act. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Now, God doesn't say this next part. Scripture doesn't say this. But here's the implication of what God's question said. You were nowhere. You didn't even exist. How dare you question me and sit in judgment on me? Paul says something similar in Romans 9. He wrote this, "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" You see, it's one thing to disobey God. It's entirely something different to question the goodness and the uprightness of God. For you see, those things speak to his very nature and character. When the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out a demon by the power of the devil, thereby maligning the good character of the Holy Spirit by connecting him to Satan, Jesus warns them of the unforgivable nature of sinning against the Holy Spirit. And thus, when Job doubts the righteousness and the goodness of God, God goes on a four-chapter rampage to set Job straight. I empathize with Job. Because I don't understand the suffering that God allows either. I don't understand why the Lord would allow a pastor, a servant in God's church, some of you may remember him, one of my very best friend, to be taken from his young family by an asthma attack. I can't make sense of why God would let a good, God-fearing, church-going family I dealt with early in my ministry, lose their infant daughter in a sudden, senseless accident. I'm not sure I will ever grasp how God could let a gunman walk into a church in Texas and kill a mass of people who are there worshiping him. It doesn't seem just. Doesn't seem right. Certainly doesn't seem fair. And I might add, it doesn't seem very kind and loving either. But we weren't there when he laid the earth's foundations. We didn't mark off the earth's dimensions or lay its cornerstone. We can't shut up the sea behind doors, nor place any limits upon it. We are part of the creation. And thus we have no right nor any standing to question the Creator. And so no matter how unjust or unkind something may appear to my infinite testimony, I can't say that word very well, but small mind, I cannot and must not judge God by what my eyes see, but only by what my heart by faith knows. And this is what my heart knows to be true. God loves me. He does not willingly bring me affliction or grief. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is always with me and will always strengthen me. He will work through every situation in my life to bring me to good. Nothing will ever separate me from His love. And in the end, I will live with Him in His home forever. And I know all of this to be true because Jesus, God's Son, died and rose for me to forgive me and to give me the assurance of every promise that God ever made me in His Word. There are many times in my life when I just cannot understand why God permits such trials and struggles and sorrows and frustrations to be a part of my life. It seems unfair and sometimes even uncaring. And my temptation is to question God's equity and to doubt His mercy, which is essentially what Job did. But then I remember God's little talk with Job. And I remember what God sacrificed for me through His Son Jesus. And I realized with Job, there are simply some things of God that I don't understand. Things too wonderfully complex for me to ever understand. And so I must learn to live always and only by the promises of God and by the witness of Jesus. And if I do that, if I walk by faith instead of by sight, I will see and I will know the goodness and the love of God. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.